This podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Welcome to the flagship edition of the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. A hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. Now, let's introduce your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is a special bonus episode of the flagship. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois, and I have a very special guest. I've been trying to get a hold of this guy. I've been trying to get him on the show for almost a year now. You may not know who he is, but you will very, very soon. And yes. Yeah, we were just talking off air. 2020 was supposed to be his year. But you want to talk to a guy who absolutely knows how to market himself. It is this guy. He is the six tool product, the one, the only, the very sexy bitch, Mr. Anthony Cantina. What's going on, man? Yeah. How you doing?
You forgot the whole damn show.
Sorry.
You forgot. He lives it. He breathes it. He proves it. So you got a couple of little monikers in there that you know, I'm trying to get steamrolling. So.
Well, it's good to have you here, man. If I talked about your nicknames, we'd be here all night.
Yeah. So. The Master Disaster, like I'm like Apollo Creed and, right. And Rocky. And yeah.
Well, man, it's good to have you here, man. How you doing with everything going on now? It's a crazy time we're in, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, it's you know, the place that I just moved in at, it's like a really nice, like, country club, like, neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And, It's actually kind of sad because since I've been there for about 2 weeks now, I think it's 3 weeks on Friday, and since I've been there, I've seen 3-4 sale signs that, like, just listed.
Wow.
And yeah, so, you know, I mean, everyone's struggling, but it's I thought of a pretty good quote that I think I'm gonna start using. So no one else take this. I should get it, like, copyrighted or something. But I just came up with it last night while I was working out. I may fail, but greatness won't. And it kind of piggybacks off of something that I was told, I'd say about 2 years ago when I met him, Vince Russo. The best thing he's ever told me was, no matter what, talent will always rise to the top. It doesn't, like, talent won't be kept down. So just believe in yourself and believe that you can rise above anything and put trust and faith in God, and you will be able to. So, and that goes with me, that goes with Rob, and that goes with anyone listening to this. Like, you can, if you just set your mind to it and you have faith and trust, you can do anything, man.
And I love that mindset. And for a young guy, you know, you're what, 24 years old?
24,
You're
just
well,
turned 24.
Just turned 24. Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You're way beyond your years. I mean, you have, look, not everybody your age has the sort of common sense that you portray.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a very intelligent guy. You're very articulate. You're a great promo. Obviously, you look like $1 million. You are the six tool product. I mean, it's a fantastic name, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know what's funny? I was actually, when I came up with it, I watched it. I know I've talked about this before, but I got the idea from the movie. Have you seen Moneyball?
Oh yeah. Yep, I have.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies. And that I remember they kept on saying five tool play, and obviously that movie came out in like 2011. I mean, I was like 14 at the time, but that always stuck with me. And so I originally came up with the five tool product. And then when I went to go work with Vince, he was like, you know what? You look like such a dick. Let's have you be even more of an asshole and call you, like, add one more tool than anyone else has ever had. Forget Mike Trout. Forget Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
Yeah.
You got those are five tool players. This is his words kind of verbatim. let's make you have one more tool, because looking at you, you have all six tools. I could tell that. And that's kind of where the origins of the six tool product was birthed.
Dude, I love it, man. And know what? It's something you can carry for the rest of your career. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Nobody else will be known as that. I mean, there will be one. I mean, do you see yourself getting even better? Maybe, you know, seven tool product, eight tool product. I mean, is that going to be your gimmick moving forward when you get, when you get signed? Or?
With just like each win, I keep on adding a tool. like it, for the first six wins, I got this because of my intelligence. I got this because of my charisma.
Right.
And then eventually I'm going to have like six tools. And then like, after I keep on winning, I'm going to have to keep on coming up with more and more reasons why I won. So, I mean, it could, in 20 years from now, we could be ending up with like 367 tool product or something. I mean, who knows? I won't poo-poo the idea. Let's just say that.
I love it. I mean, you know, Dean Malenko was the man of 1,000 holes. Chris Jericho wanted to be the man of 1,001. So, hey, you never know, right?
yeah, exactly. Man with 1,000 tools. Yeah,
I love it. And, you know, speaking of Vince Russo, I've had him on the show. He's a good guy. He gets such a bad rap.
He really does.
And I mean, he's a little overbearing at times. I mean, he's a New Yorker. People don't really know how to take that New Yorker attitude. But I'm telling you, man, when you really get to know the man himself, there's few better people there are in this world than Vince Russo.
Yeah, and, you know, so I kind of – my dad's from Jersey. So, and like grew up in like Jersey in like the 60s and 70s. So like, I'm like a very, like, I've been accustomed to that type of like loudmouth style
right
for a while. And like loudmouth gets like a negative connotation, but you get what I'm saying. But the thing that is untold by no one talks about this. And I wish that Vince would put it over more that I have worked out with. I say worked out with like I've been in the same gym talking with him, not doing reps together, but like talking to him with Billy Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked with, and I'm not just saying this because he's his boy, but like Big Vito. I've talked with Al Snow. I've talked with just a litany of people that he made money and no one has anything bad to say. The people that are saying bad stuff about him are people that have honestly probably never met him and just have heard like these just ridiculous rumors or I like slanderous remarks about him that is just completely untrue. I mean, he's very opinionated, and that just rubs people the wrong way. Eminem was rubbing people the wrong way. You know what I mean? So, like, it really just comes with the territory. If you're going to be successful in something, like very, very successful, you're gonna have your own thoughts and ideologies. And like, the problem with that is the fact that if you have those, a lot of people don't have those and want to be successful. And so, like, they view that as, like, kind of like they're less than in a way, but I don't think they'd ever admit that to themselves. But I believe that they think of that subconsciously, like they're not able to do this one certain thing, but they're constantly like lambasting someone for being what they want to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And I mean, you know, Vince, he works people too. You know what I mean? Like you know, when Vince is usually on Twitch or something like that, like you get to see a little bit behind the guy, but you know, when he's on his podcast, he's working people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I was just listening to a podcast today with him and he was telling all the brand members, you can't work me. I'm the master worker. So like he's coming out and like verbally saying it. You know what I mean? So he's not shying away from anything. So and you gotta respect that. I mean, for someone to work you while they're saying I'm gonna work you that's talent right there.
It is. And he's got a very loyal fan base too. And you know, it's funny, like him and Jim Cornette obviously hate each other. I mean, that's common knowledge, right?
It's absolutely crazy because they have the same exact views on wrestling.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going with that. Yes.
I listen to both, and both of them are geniuses in their own way, but their ideologies mesh together so well.
Right.
Like, seriously, it's insane. It's crazy.
And I think that's why they dislike each other so much, is because they're so much alike. I mean, it's just, it's mind boggling. But I mean, you know,
they're both very opinionated.
Yes. And so, I have friends that are close friends with Jim, and they say the Jim you see on his podcast and on Twitter and all that is not the same guy. Like, Jim's a worker too, and he has been for, you know, 40 years.
Yeah.
If you get to know the real Jim Cornette, I mean, he's still a little bit batshit. All right, he's a lot batshit crazy, but you know, he is a super nice guy though, and he will take his time out of his day to help people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that about him.
Yeah, I did not know that, and it doesn't surprise me, because you would have to be a very overwhelming douche to have all of that knowledge in wrestling and all of that experience and all of that just knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's the best word for it. And just keep it to yourself. You know what I mean? 40 years, like you just said, I mean, still making money at it. Like, mm-hmm. just think about the fountain of knowledge that he can give you. I've never got to meet him. I thought that I would have a chance to at OVW, but he stopped working there for, I think, a couple years prior, like a year or so prior. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten to talk with Rip Rogers. I've gotten to talk with, there's this other guy, Josh Aircraft. That's one of the wrestlers down there who you actually used to like couch surf on Jim Cornette's like couch. So yeah. I've gotten some I've always wanted to meet him. I think that, like I said, I mean, he's worked. I mean, think about all the places and all the people he's worked with.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, if I can, I try and like, that's my, I really think that is the secret to success, honestly, is that if you can take, and this is what I tried to instill from an early age in wrestling, or from the early goings in wrestling for me, was trying to learn from so many different people and mesh it into my own style.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's I can't think of the poet, but there's a poet that is, he has a quote that says, "Mature writers imitate, but mature writers steal and make it their own." So, and that's basically, I mean, I think that if you just take that thought process and apply it to whether it be basketball, whether it be football, or like football with a quarterback, you know, I'm gonna watch how Dan Marino moves his feet, but then watch how Joe Namath throws it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then if you whatever is they're the best at, and you take a little bit from everyone that they're the best at, and you create this like demigod kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if any like wrestlers or aspiring people in any form, but especially in wrestling, because that's where my knowledge is coming from. If you have an opportunity to go out, I mean, I've been over to Germany with WXW. I've trained with Al Snow, QT Marshall. I've trained with Tommaso Ciampa. I've trained, he was actually one of my original trainers, him and Brian Fury. I've trained with people over at FSW Vegas. So if you could just take a little bit, I feel like I'm talking a lot. I'm a talker. So,
no, you're fine. No, I know you are.
Italian too, so I'm always right. moving around.
Right.
But so if you could just take a little bit from everyone, I really, really think that is the best thing that you could do for yourself and for any company that you're working for.
Well, and I love that mindset, and that's something I've used on my own show. Like, I've listened to podcasts, you know, that I like, and I've taken a little bit from here and there. Like, oh, that was, I like how he did that, or I like how that was done. And I'll take little pieces of that as well and incorporate it into my own style.
What's going on? You have John Wanglin, one of the hosts of Wrestling With Reality. Check out our shows this week on Wrestling With Reality. We have some great shows. We have our MMA show. We look at, is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus George St. Pierre a reality? Why John Jones is such a disgrace to the UFC? We also have on WCW Monday Nitro Watch Along, and we take a look back at Triple H in his 25-year career in the WWE. So check out Wrestling With Reality on all major podcast outlets.
Hey everyone, this is Sharon Waxman. I'm the founder and the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, the premier news source for daily coverage of the entertainment industry. I'm also your host of this new podcast, The Wrap-Up, a show that gives you an insider's look at the top stories in Hollywood. Each week, we'll bring you the latest news on the business of movies, TV, streaming, and tech. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you each week on The Wrap-Up. Viva
la raza! Hey everyone, this is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening to the Reality Check Podcast Network. Excuse me!
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Another guy that's around your same age that is kind of a throwback like you are is MJF.
And yeah, I knew that you were going to say that.
Right, and he's a student of the game as well. Like, you know, he's a big Ernie the Cat Ladd fan. He's a Roddy Piper fan. Like, he's a young guy, but has gone back and studied video and promos and you know, vignettes and stuff like that, and tried to find out where he fit in, what he wanted his character to be. And, you know, both of you guys have done a really, really good job of doing it. Just unfortunately, you know, he's gotten, you know, more attention than you have, but eventually, dude, I'm telling you, you will get there.
Let me say this. It's just like a competitive mindset. A lot of, in my opinion, a lot of people would be looking at me and saying, oh man, why did he get that? Like, they're thinking that I'm thinking this way. Mm-hmm. Oh man, why did this guy get this? You know, he looks this way and then isn't that tall, but like, oh, just because he knows like whoever, that's not the case. I promise you that's not the case, because I actually worked with MJF at XWA in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And just talk about just natural. I've seen the dude do backflips like off of the top rope. Yeah. And like, I'm like, he's short, but he's like Chris Benoit. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like stout. He's a big dude for being like his height and like the athleticism and just natural charisma.
Yeah.
He deserves to be there. And I don't look at it as like, oh, why him, not me. I look at it as, that's great for him. Now, when is it my turn?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When am I going to be standing on stage going back and forth with him in a promo? Because I really do feel like it's just a matter of time. I have a lot of respect for the guy. Talent, wrestling-wise, promo-wise, he's you know who I was – So I've been going back and watching some of the old, like, SmackDown and Raws and whatnot. No one gives him this comparison because it's – in my opinion, it's because it's too, like, low of a comparison, from, like, a wrestling fan's perspective, like, match star ratings and whatnot and, like, ranking on PWIs. But if you go back and watch this guy – you were going to be like, this is MJF to a T. He does, the guy who he reminds me of doesn't get enough credit, but I think that they're so similar, and that's MJF and Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Anderson could talk, man. Yep. Like, I was just watching the show, SmackDown, I think it was probably yesterday, from like 2005, and he was cutting a promo on a mule. Like, what does that sound like in wrestling? That sounds exactly like something the comparisons are uncanny. And I think that like some people will look at it as like, oh, that's too low of a comparison or whatever. Mr. Anderson can go and he can talk and he's just all around, like, he's a five tool player, or you know what I mean, he's a five tool product. He's not the six tool product.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities between him and MJF.
Well, I've been watching you, man, for a few years now. We have a mutual friend. We were talking about this off air about Wrestling with Reality and John Wanglin. I don't know if you knew this, but he actually owns the network that my show is on. So I've known John for a couple of years. He gave me my break when I started out this show, about 15 months or so, when he was just starting his own network. And he heard one of my shows and said, yeah, man, you should totally come on my network. And, you know, we've kind of built it up from there. So I told him I would name drop him on the show because he likes hearing himself be talked about. So he's a great guy. But he had you on, maybe, I don't know, a year ago or so.
Yeah, and, I think it was last March, probably.
Yeah. And, I listened to the show and I was like, wow, man, that kid is really, really smart. And my kid, I'm 43 years old. I don't mean that you're a kid, but it's a term of endearment in the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're good.
I was like, no, man, that kid is really smart. For somebody that young, he's got a great head on his shoulders. And, you know, I always credit John for, you know, having unique guests on and having people that, you know, not everyone hear about, but at least give them a platform to get their name out there. And,
yeah,
you know, he had a lot of great, you know, feedback from that show. And, you know, we'll peel back the curtain a little bit. Ever since then, I've been trying to get you on my show. but no, I mean, yeah. We were talking off air. You move around a lot, and it's hard to pin you down. You're a busy guy. You're always trying to get your name out there. Like you said, you're going around to all these different places and training with people and learning from people. And, you know, it's finally good to get you here, but it's just funny that I first heard you there, you know, a little bit over a year ago, and now finally, you know, yeah. You're here. But since then, I'm glad that I have you here now as opposed to then, because yeah. I'm sure you got a lot more fucking stories to talk about.
You don't even
this
don't
time.
Even, oh man, holy man! I have been wrestling, and no one really like knows this because they may just like see it or whatever, hear me say 3 years. But I've been wrestling since I was 17. Mm-hmm. Now I say 3 years. But the thing that gets kind of left off sometimes is 3 years collectively. I have, you know, getting in at such a young age that you really have like ups and downs and learning, trying to figure out who you are and having needing the right mindset. And I, at 17, I'm glad I did it, but like I wasn't ready to get into wrestling. Like you, it's a man's business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just wasn't mentally mature enough for it. I didn't know how to handle myself. The ability was there. It was like rough around the edges a little bit, but like the ability you could, and this isn't me just saying this, this is like my trainers and stuff. Like I just need to get a right head on my shoulders mm-hmm. and not be quote unquote an ass. And then everything's just going to start to click. So like, the ability was always there, like I said, rough around the edges, but that aspect of it was about just not being mentally mature enough for it was something that like I feel like sometimes like I messed it up and it's never gonna work itself out and everything is just it's gonna be terrible. You know what I mean? Like and like this is all just pointless because I burned every bridge. But you need to take a step back, realize it's on me to realize that I'm not that important to have people remember that, oh, we burned a bridge. Does right. that make sense?
Yeah.
I think sometimes, and I especially do this, that's why I'm saying that anyone that may struggle with this, try not to do this. But like I put too much importance on myself as opposed to, because these people have lives too. You know what I mean? They may just from, oh yeah, I remember that kid. Not like in my mind sometimes, oh yeah, I effing hate that kid. It's not like that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it took me some time to really recognize that. I may have like messed up something, but I never burned any bridges. It's just going to take some slow getting back. And I have over the past year. So, yeah, just about a year now. But that's why I say 3 years collectively, because it's been in and out. I've went to go to acting school, which really like everything kind of like led up and really helped me in this point that I'm at now. Like if I didn't have the acting experience, the guy who trained me actually trained, and I worked with him in Philadelphia, but he trained in LA. He trained James Franco. That was like his big guy wow. that he trained. And so like, if I didn't leave wrestling, I would have never gotten that experience. So it's just kind of go with the flow, but also remember your insight in the end game pretty much. But that's why I say like 3 years collectively, because it is 3 years collectively. It's just, I have been doing this at a very young age. So I forgot that what question you asked. So like,
yeah, I
went
too.
Off into like something yeah. like that. So I apologize.
I did too, and I'm old, so it doesn't even matter. It's all good.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
when did the light bulb go off in your head? Like what was there anything in particular that went off in your head and you're like, oh, I get it now. You know what I mean? Like, and you start to think more of this as investing in yourself because, you know, we can use the term independent contractor because that's usually what wrestlers are labeled, but
yeah.
You are your own brand. You own, yeah. You know, I work at a trucking company. You know, I'm a dispatcher and each of my guys own their own vehicles. They are independent contractors. They work for themselves under my umbrella. Independent contractors, you know, applies to wrestlers where Triple H, just, you know, use him as talent. He's an independent contractor. He has a talent contract under the WWE umbrella, but he's his own brand. And you've really put that, you know, when did that go off in your mind? You're like, I need to put more and invest more in myself because Anthony Katina, the wrestler, you know, that's my brand. Six Tool Product is my brand. When did that finally go off in your head? And you're like, yeah, man, I really need to start treating this like a business.
So I always looked at it as a business.
Okay.
But I didn't ever look at it up until not too long ago. I would say, probably I started looking at my business. I always looked at the wrestling as a business, especially because my parents both wrestled from the get go. I was kind of around like old school, like mindsets from the get go. Like the guy who trained me, Brian Fury, he was trained by Steve Bradley, who trained Kurt Angle. And I'm sure that if you talk to Kurt Angle, if you listen to him, he's talking about wrestling as a business.
Yeah.
So I always looked at it as a whole, as wrestling as a business, but I never looked at myself as like, hey, I need to brand myself. I'm not just a wrestler. I'm a brand. The moment that I don't think there was like an actual, oh my gosh, like coming to Jesus moment.
Right.
But like, I would believe that was just recent, like I want to say like October or November maybe. And it may have even been after my WWE tryout in early December. The reason why, and I'll even go over some of the stuff that like I'm trying to do currently. I'm in the process of like doing now. The reason is because the business right now, despite what people want to say, it's not at a boom period. There's a very, very low number of people that are watching it to what it compared. You know what I mean? Like you take the numbers, whatever it may have been, whoever may have done it, and you compare that. You take the best in wrestling and you compare it with the least. And like right now, it's kind of like right here. You know what I mean?
At
the lower point of it. And now everyone says that it's like the lowest it's ever been. Paul Pons in 1898 won the world championship at like a circus. I don't think it could get much lower than that. That was right. He was the very first world champion. So like if you want to look at it as like in terms of like TV, but like you know what I mean? Like some people like some people like say, oh, it's the lowest the business has ever been. No, like if Gorgeous George didn't like transform himself into a character, wrestling, in my opinion, wouldn't even be here today. Right. He was the very first character and he really like saved. I was just watching a Muhammad Ali. I've been looking up quotes. I have been reading books. I have been watching documentaries throughout this entire thing, just trying to learn.
Like, I love it.
The whole COVID stuff. Just trying to learn from great people. I'm watching right now. I'm currently watching the Last Dance, which is pretty crazy. But I was watching that Muhammad Ali thing, and I already knew this, but he reiterated it that where he got his style from was watching Gorgeous George, and that was back in like the 40s and 50s. So it like I said, like if it wasn't for Gorgeous George, and this is just like a small little tangent, then wrestling wouldn't be here, and we arguably would have had Muhammad Ali, like one of the greatest like sports figures ever.
Right.
So I recognized that I needed to be more than just a wrestler or an entertainer. I need to be a brand because back in, like I said, early December, because we already have the people that are watching the show now. It's been the same consistent number for however long now, like 7 months.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And right. that's good because we know the number of people that we have. But that's not my goal. I don't want just 800,000 people to be watching me. I want rock status. I want Stone Cold status. Bruno Sammartino. Now, granted, you know, whatever. Like, I know that he wasn't like – he goes up to someone. They know who The Rock is. You don't go up to someone. They arguably don't know who Bruno Sammartino is. But you get what I'm saying. Ric Flair status. Yeah. Like, think about Ric Flair, too. And, like, again, I'm going off and, like, I have ADHD. So I'm just, like
– That's fine, man.
So, and like I said, I can talk. And I have a bunch of, like, theories and whatnot. But – you know, everyone wants to say that, like, Hulk Hogan was bigger than Ric Flair, or The Rock was bigger than Ric Flair. Hulk Hogan was in Rocky III, and everyone knows his name. And so, and I'm trying to have this make sense, because it does in my head. It's just, I might not delineate it properly. But Ric Flair wasn't in any movies. He wasn't with the WWF, and I still... 8 out of 10 people, you go up to them, say, hey, do you know who Ric Flair is? They probably know who Ric Flair is, or have heard the name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And think about that. I mean, if he had a spot in a movie, think about, he was on Hogan status, in my opinion.
Right.
But like, think about like how much bigger of a name he would have been than that. But anyways, that's just my like little rant, one of my mini rants for right now. But, the things, and like I said, I would go into some of the stuff I'm trying to do. So that's my ultimate goal, is wanting to not just appeal to 800,000 people. I want to appeal to 5 million people, 6 million people. And then, because then I'm going to be making money. The business is going to be making money. The company is going to be making, the owner is going to be making money.
Right.
And I like the people, see people succeed. And I like even more if they succeed because of me. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So, and some of the things that antics that I'm trying to do to achieve that, well, one, there's this clothing brand line that I've been working with Ricky Morton, and I'm good friends with his son, Kerry, and he's sponsored by Future Legend. I don't know if you know Future Legend.
I do. Yep.
So I'm working, I'm doing my best to try and get sponsored by them, because then they cover like a lot of sports. You know what I mean? So
right.
Then we bring in that like a little bit, like maybe like a couple basketball fans or football fans. And then there's this other place or this other company that who I do my like fitness regimen from, Kino Body. And the dude's like I think he's about like 28, 29. And he like started this thing. Kino Body, and when he was about 21, 22, and he grew it to this multi-million dollar company. And so I'm again, like with the Future Legends, I'm trying to get sponsored by them. I'm trying to get sponsored by Kino Body as a sponsored athlete. You know what I mean? I'm trying to, and think about all, like, he has like millions of transformations, and think about like, if I could get that group, then that's just even a quarter of that. That's 250,000 more people. So it's kind of like what I was saying about like taking a little bit from everyone and really creating my own style. If I can do that with fashion and supplements and, you know, video games and TVs, then I can really just add in this huge group of people that have not watched wrestling and bring it back to where it needs to be. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's kind of what my goal is.
And that's, I'm telling you, man, like, I hate to keep saying the same things over and over again, but for a young guy, you have such a great head on your shoulders, and you totally get it. And I'm telling you, man, like, you're a throwback. You know, I'm not saying that millennials are lazy or anything like that, but, you know, or self-entitled, but, you know, that has to come with, you know, your parents instilling that
really
work, you know, that work ethic in you. And you mentioned that both your parents were wrestlers. While unfortunately you weren't around in that day, but they came from the world-class wrestling in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about a legendary territory, and, you know, working with Skandor Akbar and Von Erichs and the Freebirds and like all these people. Like, it's too bad you weren't around back then to kind of appreciate it. You can only watch videos and stuff like that. But, you know, they must have a ton of stories from working there back in the day.
Yeah. So, now granted, my mom and my dad got divorced when I was 9 months old. And I probably saw my dad a handful of times after that before he passed in 2015. So I've gotten to like talk to him a little bit, but so I never really got like a lot of like knowledge from him.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
I mean, it really is like hearing the stories about, my mom was, to put it nicely, she was like a little ring rat when she was like 15 years old.
Right.
Because she grew up like right around in Dallas, like right around all these people.
Yeah.
So, she was going out to see Gino and I was just back seeing her in Wyoming. And when we went through, like, she has this huge box of like pictures she took from the Sportatorium with like David Von Erich and Chris Von Erich, like all the Von Erichs, obviously. Yeah. Gino Hernandez, the Fabulous Freebirds, Jim Cornette. Like, I mean, it's like, yeah. So I've gotten some, I don't want to say stories, but just like some interesting little like tidbits about some different people. And, you know, I don't think I've ever said this, but my mom, I try to dig a little bit more out of her, but I don't think that she, hold on, it's getting really, really dark out. yeah, I don't want to look like too much like an asshole.
Right. I wear sunglasses at night.
Yeah. I try to take a little bit more out of her and I don't know if she's telling me the full, like, I don't think she's like telling me everything that happened, but she's gone out on dates with, I say dates, but like she went out to a bar with Mick Foley. She,
wow.
I know. And I mean, it was like, whatever, like, close to like 35 years ago now, so whatever, but she was like underage, so like she was going out on dates with like all these guys like Larry Sharp. She went out on a date, like that was
wow.
It's funny because all the stories I have are like kind of inappropriate stories that would get people in trouble.
Right.
So I'm trying to like tiptoe around the company line a little bit.
I love it.
But yeah. Once more people have passed, well, I'll have her come on and she can tell you a couple of stories.
I mean, she could probably write a book, dude, about all that, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. She was, like I said, she was a little ring rat. So.
Yeah.
from everything that I've kind of gathered, yeah.
That is hilarious. Now, were you ever able to watch any of your dad's matches? Was there any footage that you had?
Yeah. So there's a match with him, and he's partnering with Frogman LeBlanc. I don't know if you remember that name.
I do.
He was, and it was against, I want to say Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, but I remember the name. It wasn't Gorgeous Gino because he had passed before my dad. My dad started in like 87, I think. And I think Gino passed in 86. We'll get into a whole discussion about that. Like, Gino Hernandez is like the man. yeah, I think it was Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. And so it was LeBlanc, my dad, the East Coast Destroyer, and that was my dad's name, and versus Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, I believe, and Mick Foley. And so I have the I really should have looked for the tape while I was back in Wyoming with my mom, but or a CD that we have it on, but. And my dad, this is one that my dad told, one story that my dad told me. So he was in the ring with Mick, and you could see it clearly on the footage. It's Mick, everyone thinks that it's the chair shots that did it to him, that made him like a little nutty. No, he was like a nut from the get-go. So he literally, I wish I had more room. I would get up and like reenact it for you. Like he somehow they got into the buckle. I would have to, it's been a while since I watched a match, but somehow they get into the buckle. He goes up for like a 10 count, I think, if I can remember correctly, like a 10 count of punches.
Yep.
But instead of punching him, he gets up on there, and you can see it like clear as day from my memory. He bites my dad's bald. He bites my dad like right here and has like blood coming out of like from like him biting so hard. And my dad said they had teeth marks for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and people think it's like the chair shots and whatnot. No, this dude was like nuts from the get-go.
Well, I mean, like, back in the day, he was known as, you know, Cactus Jack Manson. And they dropped the Manson part because, I mean, he looked a lot like Charles Manson. So I think that was his early idea of that gimmick.
Yeah, that would make, I didn't know that. So that would make sense. That would make 1,000% sense why he bit my dad until he bled.
Yeah.
So
see, there you go. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Business with personality. That's the idea that launched London's business newspaper, City AM, 15 years ago. And it's the same idea that inspired our new daily podcast, The City View, where you'll find me, City AM editor Christian May, interviewing the most well-known, influential and colourful figures from business, politics and finance. The City View from City AM. With a new episode every morning, it's the perfect start to your working day.
Hey everyone, this is Stan Wangler from Just Thinking. Stop on by this week and listen to some of the great podcasts we have lined up for you. Two in particular are really good shows. One is called Are We Driving Ourselves Insane? Well, are we? And the next one is called Have You Been Having a Bad Day? Did you have a bad day? Well, if you did, this is the show for you. And I bet you, when you get done listening, you'll feel a lot better. So join us.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
But that's pretty cool, though, that you got to see, you know, footage of your dad in the ring. And were you a fan ever since you were a kid?
Oh, I mean, wrestling's been in my family. My granddad, when he was a kid, used to argue with with his grandma. So, like, my great-great-great-grandma, I think. He used to argue with her when he was like four. He's a dick, like, still, like, I hate him. I don't want this to be like therapy session, but he's a lot of like the reason why, like,
it's all good.
Why I kind of have this like pissed off edge to me. Maybe one of these days I can like lay down on the couch and we'll go over it. But, like a real therapist, but, Yeah, so, and he, like I said, he was a dick from the get-go. He was like 6 years old, five or six maybe, arguing with his grandma about like wrestling being real or not. And just like, he was like, you know, they're not really hitting him, right? And she's like, no, this guy, and this is like back in like the 40s.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Wrestling, and that's like my most prior knowledge to it. Like, it could have been like way longer, but wrestling's been in my family for a very, very long time. And so my great granddad, and on both sides too, that's the real like crazy part. So my great granddad this is just stories from my dad. So like, there's no pictures. I have pictures of my dad wrestling and my mom wrestling. There's no pictures of this though, but my dad swears it up and down, or did swear it up and down, that so I'm Italian. My great grandparents came here from Sicily, like on a boat or whatever, back in like the 20s, I believe, like the 20s or 30s. And my dad swears up and down that my great granddad, who I'm actually named after, Anthony, he went to New York, from Italy to New York. He swears up and down that he wrestled in New York, like when he got there, wrestled in New York. Like I said, there's no like validity to that or like proof, but like, I think it's kind of cool. I think it's cool to say, oh yeah, I'm like a third generation wrestler. So like, I kind of go with it sometimes, but there's no like Stone Cold proof to the theory. Right. Me and my sisters, and yeah, I mean, we grew up. I remember watching like Scotty Duhati, and this is like obviously for me, for my like growing up with my sisters. Yeah, Scotty Duhati, Rikishi, you know, The Rock and whatnot. So yep. my era of wrestling was 2004 to like about 2006.
Okay.
I challenge anyone to come up with a better era than 2002 to 2006. I mean, you had the live sex celebrations. I mean, you know, based on like, I get it, like numbers and whatnot. Like, you can obviously say that the Attitude Era, because they drew as many fans or more fans, you could say it. But like, just from like entertainment for me, I was 9 years old, and this is probably why I was 9 years old watching Edge and Lita have sex on TV.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Right.
But like, yeah, probably why it holds like a special like place in my heart. But it's been in my family for a very, very long time.
You're probably the only Ruthless Aggression era kid that I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most people nowadays are Attitude Era. And, you know, I came from the golden era, you know, in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s and all
For sure.
You may be the first Ruthless Aggression kid that I know. So that's, yeah, that's pretty funny. I mean,
dude, you got – there's the two greatest heels, in my opinion, in wrestling are JBL and Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is badass as a heel. And like, JBL, like, still, like, I again, like, I was watching that show – or SmackDown from 05. He had already lost the title and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting booed out of the building. Like, he wasn't like a top guy still. And he was still like the most, ask anyone, no one likes JBL. Right. And that's the mark of an amazing heel, that no one likes you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like that's like, even the smarks who think MJF is a heel, but oh yeah, I like him. Even those people don't like JBL.
That's
like,
right.
Seriously, yeah. Like the greatest heel of all time.
You can't argue with that, man. You and probably to this day, I mean, a lot of people still don't like him. And he was very, very good at what he did. He was a heat magnet, man. Like he knew his character. Like, I mean, he was good as, you know, he was a good baby. I liked him with Ron Simmons and the APA and all that.
Too much of that.
Right.
But I don't remember too much of that.
But, you know, when he turned heel and found that JBL character, which is essentially him turned up to 11, you know what I mean? Like, that's where he really made money. And that's where, you know, he truly got over, you know, and that's why he's going to be a Hall of Famer. So,
yeah,
guys, he's amazing.
He really is. And I cannot tell you. So when I was trying to, and this shows how much of a fan of JBL I was. And I don't know how you are with time. Like I said, I could go all day, so just cut me off.
I got plenty of time, man. Yeah, you're good.
All right, cool. So just to show you how much of a JBL like fan I was and mark for him I was when I was coming up so when I got into wrestling, I called myself, because I was a big fan of Ric Flair and Gorgeous George, so much so that and again, I don't think I've ever said this with Wrestling with Reality or any other podcast, but when I was still, I think I was about 15 or 16, and I decided that I wanted to wrestle. And then I graduated high school early so I could at 17 so I could go to Massachusetts and train. But when I was 15, either 15 or 16, I decided that I want to wrestle. And I knew that, and Ric Flair is what, John Cena is what drew me in, but like Ric Flair is what made me really want to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking up Ric Flair, whatnot. I came across Buddy Rogers, and then I came across Gorgeous George. So when I came across Gorgeous George, and this is me just being, I don't even know, just like erratic, I guess, like it's thinking back on it, it's pretty crazy. that I like actually did this at like kind of a young age too. So on your phone, you go to like the white pages, I think it's called, or something.
Right. And back in the day, we had phone books, man, you know, with actual numbers in it. Right. So,
exactly. So I would go and I would type in on white pages. I think it was, I would type in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that's where he was the most prominent. Portland, Oregon, Seattle area. That's really where he really built up a name. And so, and you can like filter in like age groups.
Right.
So I did 65 plus, or like 55 plus is 65 plus. Rob, like I, 15 or 16 years old, I cold called, I'd say roughly about 75 people within like maybe a month and a half, 2 month span, just sporadically. Mm-hmm. 75 to 100 people that were 65 plus that would have been alive when Gorgeous George was there in Portland, Oregon.
Right.
And would ask people their experiences with Gorgeous George, watching him in Portland, Oregon, like at live events and stuff.
No kidding.
And yeah. And so like, so if that's not a good indication of being a fan of wrestling. So anyways, so my first gimmick was the Magnificent Matthew King. Cause I was like, man, this is going to be awesome. It's going to let me be like, Gorgeous George. And I wanted that moniker of like Magnificent Gorgeous. I wanted something that flowed. And so I did that for, it was a complete, like, it was like a bust. Like it was terrible. And it was when I was still like, I was 17. Mm-hmm. So like, I wasn't, you guys see me now. And I just made a post on Facebook today. Everyone sees the success, but no one sees the road that it took to get. Everyone sees me now as this 6'4", 230-pound dude. I was like, when I started in wrestling, I was like 6 feet and like 245. Like I was out of shape. Like I was I was going through like a really, really bad fat stage. Let's mm-hmm. just say that. So
I'm still there, by the way.
Give it some time, you'll grow out of it.
Right.
Not like I did, yeah. I was that like fat dude that was like, oh, look at me, kind of.
Yeah.
And like I would like have like a tapestry. I called it a tapestry too, instead of a rug, because I thought it sounded more fancy and something that Gorgeous George would say. Yeah. So like I called it a tapestry. Like when I got in the ring, just like he did, mm-hmm. I saw that he like pumped like perfume Chanel. He said that he pumped Chanel number what is it? Chanel number 4?
Something like that.
Yeah. So he would with it, I think it was Chanel number 4 or number 5, but anyways, like that's the actual perfume. But he said that he would use, it was Chanel number 5, and he said that he would use Chanel number 10 to spray down the ring before he got into it. And when he was asked why, he said, well, why be half safe? So like, so he would say that it was Chanel number 10. So
yeah.
I would use this, so I would have the tapestry, and before I ever touched my opponent or like had let the ref check my pads and whatnot, I would make him use hand sanitizer before he could touch me.
Right.
So there was like a good little tidbits in there, but it was like ultimately I was just young, stupid, and so green that it didn't work at all.
That's smart though. Like that's genius. Like if you use that gimmick nowadays after this whole pandemic thing is over,
yeah.
Dude, that will get over.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should bring that back when it comes. When
it wouldn't be too bad. I wonder how it would go over as a bad guy. just me like out like because I'm a, you know, no offense to like people in wrestling, but I'm usually a little bit bigger than most people that I'm going up against.
Right.
And so just imagine me like being like all dainty with the hand sanitizer and like just coming up my chin. Like I'm like, no, I'm not touching. I would be like that. No, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching. I'd be like that when I was Magnificent Matthew King. To go back to what I was saying about JBL, I'm surprised I remember that. Crazy.
Yeah, good job, man. Good job.
when I wanted to get back in there, it was one of the times that like I stopped wrestling, whatever. When I wanted to get back into wrestling, I was like, man, I want it to be something, because that gimmick could only go so far.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now. You know what I mean? Back then, it was like innovative. Now it's just kind of like, oh, that's been done before. Oh, you know, whatever.
Right.
So, and it was a real constraint on my ability to talk, because I never wanted to be out of control talking and like flipped out and like pissed off. I wanted to be very relaxed, and that wasn't that. That's not me, number one, and number two, that's not entertaining. So I was like, man, I really want to think of something that is going to really be able to elevate, be able to be a world champion, and really just allow me to be a little bit more myself. So I was pondering between, should I be the 5-tool product, Anthony Catena from Highland Park, Texas, who I really am, second, sometimes third generation wrestler, or did I want to be, because again, I was a huge fan of JBL. You know what? Maybe I'll try something like that. Maybe I'll try this like kind of like the same type of thing, but kind of how he was wearing the suit, but he had the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like kind of a little bit like myself, but like if we were sitting here right now, I'd be wearing like a cowboy hat and have cowboy boots on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even so much so that I thought of an awesome name for it. I would call myself, I would be from Billings, Montana. And I looked up like rich cities that are like in the country, and that was one of them. So I'd be from Billings, Montana, and I was gonna try and like gain like a bunch of weight and whatnot so I could be like more filled out.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call myself Clark W. Hansen. Doesn't that sound like a good like JVL style name?
Yeah, I like it.
Awesome. But here we are now, 6-tool product. As you can see, Twitter, Instagram at 6-tool product, Anthony Catena. So one of my failed, I don't want to say failed, but just never pursued ideas. I don't look, you know what I mean? I just don't. It was my mom that really took me or convinced me otherwise. Why don't you just go with yourself? She was like pissed off that I was doing Magnus and Matthew King to begin with. Your right. dad wrestled. You know what I mean? Do something. You know what I mean? And then I was trying to go with Clark W. Hansen, and she was like, you don't look that way. You know what I mean? You don't look like this rough Texan dude. You look like a frat boy douche like James Spader in any 1980s movie. That's what you look like. So, like, go with who you are. But, yeah. That was – I would have liked to do that, but, you know, he's also, like, 6'6". You know what I mean? He has, like, 2 or 3 inches. On me, 6'6", 6'7". So, one experiment that never really panned out. So,
hey guys, it's me, Santino Marelli. Today I'm going to give a little bit shout out to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Ninja Turtles were not real, and it's on the Reality Check Podcast Network. Well, Reality Check, Ninja Turtles were not real. Trust me, I went in the sewer myself. I got trapped, police department came, fire department, long story. So check out the podcast, because what else are you going to do? To check out Rad Turtles Wrestler. It's fun to say Rad Turtles. Son of my God. In fact, the Turtles chocolate candy, that's my mother's favorite candy, so that's something positive.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
I think you've pretty much found your niche with what you're doing right now. I love the stuff that you do on social media. You really, really know how to get yourself over. One thing that I really that you got me was the funeral thing. Tell the listeners what that was all about and how you came up with that idea.
All right. So oh man.
I mean you literally got me. I was a little bit pissed off at you for about 10 minutes.
Well, it's funny because Al Snow even reached out to me.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, like I even had like I was working the workers.
Wow. Right? That's how you know you're good when you have a good idea, right?
I know. So that all stemmed from
the fight that you had?
The street fight, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, yeah, the street fight, which ended, I don't know if you saw it or not, I wanted it to be where I slam his head, like you see here. Anyone that's watching this on YouTube, I wanted it to be like a brick wall, kind of like this.
Yeah.
And I'd have a steel chair, you know, like the concerto with Edge or whatever.
Right.
So it would end in me slamming the chair with his head like pressed up against the wall like this.
Yeah.
And me just slam the chair and him like bleeding from the ears and whatnot. So he's like, he's gone for like 6 or 7 months. I mean, that was like a way to get him kind of written off TV in a way, you
right.
know? It was a way of me getting suspended, and because I had some stuff going on, I wanted to like step away for like a month or so. So it was like kind of a good way for that as well. I got suspended, whatnot. It was actually right before I left to go to Wyoming that I cut that promo, and I was trying to. I remember that I was just laying in bed. Thinking, all right, we got it. Are you an Andy Kaufman fan at all?
I wasn't a big fan, but I am familiar with his work, obviously, okay, through so, you know, Jerry Lawler and all that.
Okay, yeah, but just in like a general sense some of it wrestling, but not like all right. Anyways, he had this guy that he would work with, Bob Zamuda.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, and that was like his second hand man. Like they would just come up with like ideas on what they could do next. And that's how it is with my friend TJ.
Yeah.
So I was just like laying there and thinking, like trying to like think of something. Nothing was coming to me. A couple hours elapsed. And then it just like went like that. Like I was like, you know what? What if I just do this? And so I called him on the phone. I was like, what if I was to have like a fake funeral service for this guy and like, and make it to where like, I'm like 100% like legit, like concerned and like really think like I'd never heard from him or anything. And like, I recognize like what I did was terrible. And I just like lost control of myself. And then eventually you see at the end, I do the like countdown of the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really just like came to me just when I wasn't thinking about it for a second. And it was definitely one of my more favorite because I knew that we had to advance the storyline and then keep me kind of relevant,
right.
But off TV or off YouTube or off the show, let's say that.
Yeah.
So like I and that's really where it stemmed from. It wasn't like how – have you seen the one that I just did with the homeless man?
Yes.
With the homeless
yes.
– yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that all stems from a rib, honestly. It all stems from a rib with this guy that I used to wrestle with in New England. His name is Robo, the Punjabi Lion Robo. He is always – and it wasn't even my idea. It was TJ's idea. And because this guy Robo is always taking pictures of him delivering food to homeless or to elderly people wearing the mask.
Right.
And like, and just do, every time he posts it, he looks like a douche, like a big flapping douche. And like, so TJ actually gave me the idea. because we didn't, we had to film two shows. We had to film 2 weeks of TV, or I keep on saying, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For School of Morton, for Ricky Morton's company. Because this past week was Mother's Day. So we had to film two shows and we didn't film any vignettes. We just filmed a match for this past week. So I was like, man, we can't. I'm all about storylines. I'm all about not just wrestling matches. You know what I mean? I want stories. I want to like advance the storyline. And you do that. The best way to do that is, because there's only so much that you can tell in the ring. The best way to do that is to take it outside of the ring. You know what I mean? Whether it be a promo, whether it be a vignette, I mean, whatever. Just character development. That's where the character is born. And then that's why, and this is just like a lost like mindset. Fans are not invested in matches. They're invested in characters that are in the match. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, And that's the type of stuff that I learned early on from my parents, from Vince Russo, having worked with Al Snow and just different people like this, that character is what invests people, not the match. Characters in the match is what invests people. He's always posting back to Robo. He's always posting. He has like the food and like it looks like an infomercial. Like he has like this old lady like holding on to his arm, like smiling, and him like looking at her like all googly eyed and stuff with his mask and whatnot. Just looks like a douchebag, and always saying like, oh, I love this time of week where I get to deliver food to these people and whatnot. So that's where that idea stemmed from. It was all just to be a rib on him and to advance the storyline because we didn't film any vignettes or do any promos. I just had a match. So this was like a good, like, yeah, it was a good little way to, like I said, to kind of bust Robo's balls and advance the story. So that's where that idea came from. If anyone's watched that, and I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I'm breaking kayfabe right now. But go, make sure that you, not this week, but make sure you watch not this SOM, but the following SOM, because it's gonna be well worth it. I promise.
Dude, I love it, man.
I am that. So just okay.
That's such funny stuff, dude. Like, just getting back to the funeral a little bit, like, you posted on your Facebook page, like, you know, like, there's some tough times going on right now, like, thoughts and prayers, you know, I need everybody's thoughts and prayers, whatever. We're all like, oh, shit, man. Like, somebody died in your family, man. Like, that totally sucks. And you know, like you said, even Al Snow, you know, reached out, and it's like, oh, man. And like, did you let him in on it then, or did you wait for him to watch the video?
No. Are you kidding me? No. I did not let him in on that. What? No way. The only people that knew was my mom and TJ.
That's hilarious.
And that's because TJ helped me figure out like what I should be doing. But don't like I just knew that like if I let Al Snow find out organically, he's gonna look at me as such like a commodity.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so good that point. That was my
kind of thought process when he reached out. And like, and I don't know if you saw, but like, I was like on the comments, I really appreciate you guys like reaching out. Like it means a lot.
I do remember
like,
that. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I didn't respond to him like directly, but like I thought, and there was like people, like other wrestlers reaching out, like, yes. So it was definitely one for the memory books. That's for sure.
I'm telling you, man, like, what, did you talk to Al after that? Like, was he pissed that you kayfabed him, or did he give you
credit? No, so you remember the picture I posted with, like, me holding up the sign, Roy Thacker, beloved son, brother, douche, or pussy, or whatever I said?
Right.
Yeah. And my favorite thing at the very bottom, it says he made it personal. And the reason why that's so funny is because that's what I kept on saying in the promo. like throughout like the entire storyline. I was like, you made this personal. Like I made it like that. So I thought it was kind of funny if I like add that as like the end quote. But anyway, so like I never talked to Al directly about it, but when I posted that picture of me holding the sign, he just said, I think he laughed, reacted at it. And so like, I took that to mean like, okay.
He knew.
Exactly. Like he thought it was funny. You know what I mean? So that was pretty cool.
Did you get any heat from anybody on that at all? Or
my sisters, my sister Amber was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? She was like, she like FaceTimed me and was like, who died? And I was like, no one died. I just and she was like, that was like the only person that like it, who really got upset with me. I think some people may have gotten like, oh my God, this kid, like kind of like annoyed, upset, but she got like legit pissed off at me. So
it was very well done, man. Like even when I first started watching the video, I was like, oh shit, like where's this going to go? You know? And then you just, when you went into promo on him and then you just poured one out for him, I'm like, that's genius shit, man. Like that, I'm telling you, if Vince would have seen that, he would have loved it. But like,
I know. I try to get him to watch it, but he does like not just that, but like the thing with the homeless man.
Right.
Like I think that would be right up his alley.
Right up his alley. Yes, absolutely.
But like he won't ever watch my stuff. It's frustrating. But I was talking to him the other day about this. It really, really, because when I started working with Vince, I was just at, again, like collectively, but just at like a year and a half, 2 years. And I had just developed Anthony Catena, the six tool product. And now again, you see the final product, name of my finish in case anyone wants to know. So you see the final product and like, I don't want to say success because I certainly haven't reached the success that I want to be at, but you see like how I am now, and you don't see like the steps that I took to get there. So if I was working with this now, we'd tear up the wrestling scene. Yeah. But when I was with him, it was so, I was so just, I'm still green, but like with the mindset of the character and who I really was, I was still trying to find out who I was and not the character, who I was, because the character is me. Just turned up. Well, not really turned. It's just, honestly, it's just me. It's not even turned up. This is just how I am. But so like, I would have reveled and having, I still hold out hope. I know I may be, maybe a little, off my rocker in that sense, but if I could work with him how it is, how I am now, and being okay. You should have seen my first promo with him when we were filming a vignette at Rocky Mountain Pro. There's a reason why it was called the Seven Take Kid, because that nickname still stays. So yeah, like I just really hope that I get the opportunity and that to do that now, because like back then I was just so green with the character that now if I had him producing me, that's everything that I'm doing is just me producing myself.
Right.
And like going off of ideas that I have seen, but like really like, it's just my own, like I'll just take what they did and like mix it up to my own style. But if I could have that mind of him, or even like I said, like everyone has something to offer, like Paul Heyman or Jim Cornette, like just that mind that has been doing this for 20, 30, 40 plus years, man, it would be game over. But like, right. So I'm getting, I believe that I'll get to that point eventually to where I can get to a point to where like for, okay. So a good example, every time I've been backstage, and like I've been helping out with AEW, I've been there's like, I come across Chris Jericho. I come across Jim Ross. You know, I sat at the same table. It was just me and him with Tully Blanchard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, but if I'm just viewed as an extra. If I wasn't, if I talked to them, same thing. If I was to reach out to Jim Cornette or and I've worked with Vince, so it's a little bit different. But like, I'm not at that. So if I reach out to anyone, it looks like I'm just coming at it from like as a mark,
right?
And as like a fan.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But if I was like signed to an AEW contract, and I was to go up to Chris Jericho, or go up to Jim Ross, I no doubt would do that but I don't want to do that now because I would be viewed as like, oh, I'm just like this extra fanboy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
So you
think that mentality still goes in today's business? The way they look at enhancement or extras?
Yeah. How could it not? You know what I mean? Yeah. I was walking around as a part of the Dark Order. What do they call them? Minions?
Yeah, the minions. Yeah.
Yeah. I if I'm walking around like that.
I heard you were one of those. Okay.
Yeah. Fortunately, I wasn't the guy punching the ground. No.
Thank God. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know what's funny is I'm in the background of that right as he's punching the ground. If you look in the background, I'm the guy that just lays out with this massive shot to the back while he's laying down. One of the Young Bucks. I can't distinguish one, but that's the last that's awesome. Shot you see him before they switch. But you see this guy punching the ground, and then you see me just wail on one of the Young Bucks.
That's awesome.
So. Yeah, and still can't find it.
I'm glad you laid your shit in. So,
yeah, to a fault sometimes.
Right.
But, like I said, I think that it would be hard not to. Someone like Jim Ross, it would look that way. Like I can't go up to him as an extra and say, "Hey, can I pick your brain for a second?"
Right.
You know what I mean? He has his own. Now, if I was a talent there, which I, you know, not just there, but like. I feel like that's in my future. I really do. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not perfect. The thought of quitting crosses my mind every single day. So mm-hmm. don't think that this is, I like anyone that watching this, don't think that I'm just on top of the world 98% of the time.
Right.
Because that's not the case. I would say,
yeah, man, you're human. I mean, we're all broken in one way or another. I mean, it's life, man.
And to want something so bad and not have it yet. And right. I've been working really hard for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And seeing
things
I came up with, like MJF, who deserves to be there, don't get me wrong, but I see him there. And I think there's not much of a difference between him and I. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So and he's
You're better looking for one. I mean, you know. You're taller. You got a better physique. You got a nice watch. I mean, yeah, he wears scarves and all that stupid shit.
Yeah, yeah,
come
yeah,
on, man. No,
I like his hair. I'll put him over with the hair.
Right, right.
Yeah, I have to keep mine short because if I don't, it just turns into an afro.
I get the same way. Yeah. I totally get it. But no, man,
Shia LaBeouf.
I think you'll get there. Shia LaBeouf. I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the coach from the WWE. Now, there are very few wrestling podcasts out there that I like, but this one I love. I love the name. I love the personalities. I love the content. Follow. Subscribe. I do. The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. That's where you're at right here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
I know you will get there because like I said, you have the right mind frame for it. You know what you want. You know your character. You know your brand. But you know where you're going. And, you know, it's all about networking, dude. And that's why you've been all around the country. And it helps me with the podcast, meeting guys like you. I've had Vince on. I've had Dr. Tom on. I've had, Sean Mooney. I've talked to PCO. You know, I got Tracy Smothers is coming on this week.
Really?
Starting to make
that's awesome.
yeah, like I'm networking myself and I'm trying to get out there and I'm trying to, I love this quote and I've been using it for a couple of months now. I don't remember who said it originally, but it's not about who you know. It's about who says that they know you. Mm. And if you keep that mindset, dude, that will help you in your career path a long way. Like, it doesn't matter how many people you know. I can name drop all day, but the people that are willing to vouch for you, that's where it's really all about.
Yeah.
If you keep making the right contacts and you know, the word gets out and you're like, oh yeah, I know that kid. That kid, man, he's in the gym every day. He works hard. Yeah. First guy in, last guy out. To get people to say that about you, that's really when you're going to gain some traction and start making a name for yourself.
Yeah. Speaking of the gym, and I really appreciate you saying that because I need to hear stuff too. And right. I've never heard that before. And I'll probably use it in one of my promos sometime.
Go for it. It's all yours.
speaking of the gym, though, you know, everything's starting to open up here. And I just signed up for the gym that day because I have a membership at LA Fitness, but because they're corporate, they're not like opening up shit.
Right.
So like, even though we're open here. So I signed up for this Just Fitness for You. And so I'm working out and, you know, hitting like 315 on bench. You know how I do.
Right.
And so I look up and guess who's coming in the door as I look up? Disco.
Oh,
so I've been, yes.
Okay.
So I've been like, I've seen him every time, like I'm in the gym, I'm usually in the gym about 4 days a week. I see him every single day.
Gotcha.
Like, and we just shoot the shit. So that's been pretty cool. You said the gym. So that's what made me think of it. But
I gotcha.
Hell of a nice dude. Like,
no, he is a nice
talk
guy.
About worker. Yeah, you
talk about
worker.
He works. Yeah, he works.
Yeah, yeah.
He works everybody. And I don't know if you know the tension between him and Vince or not, if that's legit or not.
So like it is. So from everything I've gathered, first off, I've gone out to a couple months prior to that. I already knew Disco. This is how he knew me. From before. I know him from a mutual friend. We go to the same church. So I was like, right after my tryout with WWE, I came back into town and I went to lunch with him, and with Disco and his friend at Dave and Buster's. And we just sat there for a couple hours watching the football games and whatnot. So I already knew him prior, but Disco gets into fights with, like, I don't want to say fights, just like loud, obnoxious arguments with people.
Yeah, he does.
It is just kind of like him, but like I believe that it's exacerbated under his own volition to like make the shows more entertaining.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so,
that makes sense.
And Vince does the same thing. Jim Cornette, I'm sure, does the same thing. So, yeah. So like, I think they both get a kick out of each other. Let's just put it that way. So, and I think that they like work with each other really, really well. It's like, kind of like Austin and Vince.
Right.
McMahon.
I gotcha. Yeah.
I bet that's kind of how their dynamic usually is.
That makes sense. I mean, everything I've heard from about Disco, like actual, you know, Glenn, you know, behind the scenes, he's a super nice guy, and
I
see him working people on Twitter and all the time.
Yeah,
they get their kicks off of that stuff, man. Like that's how they get off. You know what I mean? Like it's fun just arguing with trolls and stupid asses on Twitter. I mean, we all do it, right?
Yeah.
Dude, you want to be a heel and you want to get over, man. That's exactly what you got to do.
Exactly.
You got to take risks. You got to do stuff like that. You gotta go with it, man. You can't half-ass anything. Like if you're gonna do this, you're gonna go balls out, man, and you're gonna do whatever it takes to
get over. It's what Vince always says: you can't be half pregnant.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So and it's 100% true. I mean, if my favorite character is JBL, who am I gonna try and emulate? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And there is no one. He was talking to I'm just shocked that they still have this on the network. I think it's badass. I mean, you can call me a WAP. Like, I don't give a shit what you call me. And you could say, oh, you just talk. You can make, like, a bunch of, like, Italian, what you could call me a cracker. Who gives a shit?
Right?
Like, who really cares? But, like, so I'm okay with it. I'm shocked with, like, the era that we're in and with WWE seeming to, like, kind of, like, placate more towards, like, kind of, like, social media-esque.
Right.
There is, again, one of the shows I was watching with SmackDown. It's like is when JBL was still champion. And he's like cutting a promo. John Cena comes out. Then Teddy Long comes out. And JBL is like standing there. And Teddy Long is talking and saying, I don't even remember what he was saying. But he said something along the lines of, you got a match tonight, playa, or dog. He said, you got a match tonight, dog, so better get ready. And like, as he's talking, as Teddy Long's talking, JBL, like, yells into the microphone, I don't speak Ebonics, and don't call me dog. And I'm like, dude, this guy is, like, the biggest asshole alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is, like, so badass. And, like, if I could, like, I'm all for the story. You know what I mean? And if I could get away with something like that now, or, like, calling a woman bitch, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? I'm all for the making money and having the story be as compelling as possible. And there's something that I learned. I forget who taught me it, but the person who taught them was Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty Rhodes said, the best thing you can do in a promo is make someone uncomfortable.
Right.
If you can make them uncomfortable, they're like paying attention, whether they're like shying away like this or they're just so captivated like this. They're paying attention to what you're going to say next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, and that is like such something that it's sad because not a lot of people, and this is like the benefit to me having learned from a bunch of people, is the fact that I've gotten to learn stuff like this, but some people don't even know that.
Yeah.
That Dusty Rhodes said that. You know what I mean? I don't think it's like out there as like promo tips by Dusty Rhodes or anything. You know what I mean? So like, it really gets lost in the shuffle, and that's really sad that there's no one, there's some people out there that just don't know that. But I think that's I think that's brilliant. Ever since I learned that probably about 8 or 10 months ago, and I still use it. I mean, with the promo, like I made you uncomfortable.
Yeah, you did.
where you wanted to made you uncomfortable, and like not like, oh my god, I can't take this, but like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm uncomfortable for you, but you were invested into it. You know what I'm saying?
I was.
And that's what's really, really missing in it. Speaking of MJF, I think from everything I've watched, MJ, like the lashes, that was uncomfortable.
Very.
Remember
uncomfortable
the lash? You know what I mean? But everyone was. I don't watch AEW that often, but like I looked at that. I didn't watch that show, but I went and made sure that I watched that. I'm not watching a match. I'm watching Cody with the lash. I mean, it was so uncomfortable, but it was saccharine. Like, it had me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Something that you don't get in wrestling anymore. And it's a lost art. But once you do it, even it's more prominent than ever because no one's doing it. You know what I mean?
That's right. And you're right, man. It is a lost art. And it's not something that we see nowadays in wrestling. Sometimes you just have to go through trial and error to find out what works for you.
Trial and error is the key to success.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's funny that you said trial and error because I say that a lot. Like, again, what I've been saying a couple times, you see the final product, you don't see the trial and error that it took to get there. You know what I mean? Arguably, I mean, I have had such like a – I've been very, very blessed just having to – having worked with just so many different people and just quotes and ideologies that people have given me, but like the Dusty Rhodes thing and the Vince thing about talent will always rise to the top. One of the best things that I have ever been taught, though, or said to, is by Mike Antonucci, who is the owner of XWA, where MJF and I were at. And just a side note, it was the five like prominent guy, I think four or five prominent guys. We had me, MJF. Do you know Richard Holiday by chance?
I've heard of him. Yep.
MLW and Ace Romero. Do you know Ace?
Yep.
Yeah. And we had all four of those guys there, and myself included. So
right.
It was just us kind of trying. MJF, when I came into that company, MJF was like the top guy. Like, he was like the top heel. And I was like, man, like, I want, like, I'm going to push to rival that. And that was like my ambition from the get go. So, and you see like clips of, I put on the thumbnail of my recent like theme song. Is there's like a picture of, if you look on my YouTube and you scroll through my videos, you'll see it. There's a picture of me standing here like this and just like toilet plate paper flooding the ring. That was from XWA, because like that's it was like I was getting a lot of heat there. But Antonucci, who owns it, and I've hung out with him. Like, he was just here in Atlanta not too long ago, and we went to a couple of the, have you ever done any of the escape rooms?
I have not. My mom is a big fan. Like, she's done a ton of those, so, but yeah, I haven't done them yet.
We did like five of them in like 2 days. We just kept on going. It was so much fun, but those are badass. But anyways, he told me, wrestlers buy houses, talkers buy mansions. And that really stuck with me. But The Rock, you know, his biggest move was an elbow drop.
Right.
From not even Randy Savage style. Like literally on the ground.
Yeah.
That was his biggest move. But he could just talk. And yep. I promise you, he's living it up. I don't know if he's married, but I'm sure his wife is like unbelievably gorgeous. And he's like living it up in like this like $1 billion house or something. Like, it's probably insane. I think that always stuck with me. And I think that, again, if any wrestlers are listening to this, take that, dude. If you're going to take anything from this and apply it to your wrestling career, that's the best piece of advice I've probably gotten. Is I've changed it up a little bit for myself. He said talkers, but when I said wrestlers buy houses, characters buy mansions. I think that one. So like, but they're kind of like the double entendres or whatever. They're the same thing.
I like it.
So I like I said, if anyone's listening to this, biggest piece of advice I can give you is right there.
I like it, man. That's a good spot to end on. So much more we get into. Would love to get together and do this again. And I would like to get face to face with you here next couple of months, and we'll definitely hook up and do a live podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm always I say this now because you might not believe me, but like, I'm always available. It's just like, and you have my number now, and I don't really check my messages on Messenger too much,
right?
So like, or too often, and then I just kind of lose track. So like, honestly, especially right now, I'm available honestly whenever, except for Sundays when I have my show.
Right.
And just a quick little plug, every Sunday, 5:05 live on Ricky Morton's YouTube channel. And it's also on School of Morton Facebook. But I know that they're really trying to grow their YouTube following, because that's where a lot of the money is at. So just go on that. If you guys are going to plan on watching it, I swear you're not going to want to miss in a couple weeks from now. Just go onto the YouTube, Ricky Morton's YouTube channel, and it's live every 5:05. So, or every Sunday at 5:05. But I'm available, honestly, like whenever, as of right now, at least. So I'm always open to do a podcast. I got to reach out to Wrestling With Reality because I want to get back on their podcast too, and try to even make that like a weekly thing. It's just good practice. I mean, this is good for me as it is for you because it gives me notoriety. And then it also just gives me practice for when I eventually, you know, when I get more eyes on me and we're doing this together and I don't like stumble over my words like I probably have been doing, like forget what I've been saying.
Dorman, through the magic of editing, it'll be all good. I'll make you look like a star kid. So
yeah, that's going to be awesome, dude. Thank you.
But no, I appreciate you being here, man. And yeah, you know, with the pandemic going on, like you wouldn't believe how many people have made themselves available to me that normally wouldn't. Probably just out of sheer boredom. They're like, screw it, I'll do your show. But I'm actually going to benefit from that in the next week or so. But where else can we find you on Twitter, social media? Anything else you want to plug you got coming on right now?
Yeah. So if I don't know if any promoters listen to this or not, but you can always. I will start checking my DMs now that it's out there. I will start checking my DMs. So you can always DM me on Instagram or Twitter. I just had someone reach out to me from this promotion in the panhandle of Florida, wanting to bring me in once everything starts kind of opening back up. So you can always reach out to me on my Facebook too. And that's where I know Rob from. You can also check out my YouTube if you guys don't mind. There's some really good content. I'm telling you, you got to go watch that funeral one that I did, and you got to go watch the one that I did with the homeless man. I'm always trying to be creative and innovative, and even if I get inspired by someone else doing something, I will make my own because I won't just like copy someone. I'll try to make my own. And I really put a great deal of effort into that because I was telling Rob and I don't think that this was on the actual show, but he pays $20, you said, a month for this. Like
it's like 20 or 30 or bucks. I forgot what it was.
Yeah. And like investing in himself. And this is why I said to him, the best investment you can make is in yourself. And I've always felt that way with myself, but I never knew that was like a saying out there until just yesterday. So and that's what I tried to do, and that's what Rob does. And I appreciate any support. And I know I don't want to speak for Rad Rob, but I would imagine he appreciates all of your support. So that's my plugs for a second.
If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, it is at Rad Rob Gaming. Check me out on Twitch. I am a Twitch gaming streamer. I stream every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central, every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming. I also have a YouTube gaming channel called Rad Rob Gaming. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, it is at RadTurtlesPOD. You can send us an email to RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Check out our Facebook page. Leave us a like there. It's facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. We also have a pro wrestling tees site. We have two shirts on sale. Anytime you buy a shirt, we will shout you out on the show for supporting our brand. It is prowrestlingtees.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. I hope you enjoyed this episode with the Six Tool product, Anthony Catena. We have so much more that we can dive into at a later date. I wanted to get in a lot of your stories, and I was kind of you did most of the talking tonight, so maybe next time. I'll get a little more talking in. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'll be back on Tuesday for RTW Rewind with my special guest, the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. Until then, guys, have a great weekend. Thanks for all your support, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Take care, guys.
Take it easy, guys.
Thanks again for listening to the flagship edition of the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Please follow RTW on Twitter at Red Turtles Pod. You can also send us an email at RedTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We'd like to thank you for all your support. You've been listening to the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast, only here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.